You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Well, welcome to the Being Challenge. All right, today we kick off a 40-day adventure that we're going to walk through together. And throughout these 40 days, I'm going to be challenging you to put into practice the five keystone habits of Jesus so that ultimately you can be more like Jesus. And today is really a day for laying the groundwork. Today is appetizer day. Right? To get the full meal, the appetizer, the entree, and the dessert, it's going to take some buy-in, some participation on your part over these next 40 days. But as we begin this journey, we're going to start in the swimming pool in Beijing at the 2008 Olympics. Now many of y'all know that I love the Olympics. And so for me, the 2008 Olympics with Michael Phelps and all that he did that year, those, even though it's a collection of them, those are my favorite moments of the Olympics, right up there with Kerry Strug. Well, in 2008, right, Michael Phelps was the talk of the Olympics, and he should have been. Right? At this time, he'd already won 9 Olympic gold medals, and he would eventually win 23 gold medals throughout his career, which is more than any other athlete in the history of the games. And there are a lot of reasons for Michael Phelps' success in the pool. He had the right body. First of all, he has big hands and a long, powerful torso with short legs and feet that can rotate beyond 90 degrees. He can bend his feet more than most ballerinas. But he had a problem. He got nervous often before big races. And like many of us, the greater the challenge, the more nervous he got. And so one of the things that his coach did was to introduce a series of habits so that the races felt more routine. So even as the competition and challenges got bigger and better, that the race would feel somewhat the same. And so here are some of the habits that the coach introduced to him. Phelps would eat the same breakfast every race day. He'd eat eggs and oatmeal and 4 high-calorie shakes and never varied the menu. And then he'd do the same warm-ups and stretches. And then he'd put on his racing suit that was so tight and he'd have to be so careful not to rip it that it would take him 20 minutes to put on. And then he'd put on his headphones and listen to the same mix of rap music that he'd been training to leading up to that race. And then finally, he'd put on an imaginary videotape in his brain so that he could visualize every element of the race. He would literally close his eyes, take deep breaths, and visualize every stroke that he was going to take to get him from one side to the other. And then after this, after all of that was done, he'd get onto the starting block and do those famous back slaps as he would stretch out his arms and get ready for the race. And so here we are in Beijing, 2008, as Michael Phelps is getting ready to swim for his 10th gold medal in the 200 butterfly. And this is where we're going to see his habits pay off. Because as Phelps dives into the water, he quickly realizes that he has a problem. His goggles are just slightly askew. And so water starts to fill up his goggles. And as the race continues, he gets worse and worse. And there's no way for him to fix that while he's in the middle of the race. But he didn't panic. Right? It got so bad that by the time he got to the last turn, he couldn't see the black line guiding him in the pool. He couldn't see the T that marked the end of the pool. But his habits paid off. And so as he makes the turn, he knows exactly how many strokes it's going to take him to get from one end of the pool to the other. And actually, his coach had prepared him for this moment because many times he would train in a pitch black pool so that he could get the feel for how that race was going to run. And so as Phelps makes the final turn, he can hear the crowd cheering wildly, but he doesn't know why they're cheering. He doesn't know if it's for him because he's in first place or if someone else has happened to pass him and they're cheering on that other swimmer. And so he counts his strokes, knowing again that he's going to need 21 to get from one end of the pool to the other. And so he gets his 19th and 20th, and he thinks that he's going to need a big push for the 20th. And so he gives a big final 21st stroke and reaches out for the end of the wall and touches the edge of the pool. And then as he comes up out of the water, he pulls off his goggle and he looks to the video screen and he sees two letters beside his name. W-R. Not only had Michael Phelps won the Olympic gold medal swimming blind, but he set a new world record because his habits paid off. The training that he had done had paid off, right? We see the power of habits, the things that we do over and over that eventually become easier and easier until one day we can do them blindfolded without even thinking. And that's the goal of our series together, that we would become greater followers of Jesus because we would put the five keystone habits of Jesus into practice in our daily lives. And it starts with our relationship. You know, a few years ago, we went through the Red Letter Challenge together as a congregation, and we aimed for these five targets: being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. And as we went through that, we talked about how being was the most important target to hit because it's about growing in relationship with God. The reason it's so important, it's because that our doing flows out of our being. You know, what we do is a byproduct of who we are. So as we go throughout this series, we're going to be answering a number of questions like, how do I grow in my relationship with God? What practically would that look like? You know, I know my relationship with God is important, but where do I start? And even though we're talking about being, what do I do to be with God? And these are some great questions. We're going to be answering those throughout the series, but today we're really going to look at three questions to help us lay the groundwork. Why should we aim at Jesus? How will keystone habits help us to become more like Jesus? And what are the keystone habits that we find in the life of Jesus? So first, why should we aim at Jesus? Well, Jesus was the only one to keep the law perfectly and to have a perfect relationship with God. So if we want to aim in growing in our relationship with God, we should look to Jesus. Because to be and to ultimately do like Jesus, we first need to be in relationship with God like Jesus was. So if our aim is to be like Jesus, we need to aim at Jesus. Jesus even said this. Hear his words in Matthew 11, 29. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Right? We are called to learn from Jesus. And as we do that, we find rest. We find who we are. Our soul is at peace. And I really like the way that Eugene Peterson summarizes this verse in the Message version. Take a look at it. It says, Jesus says, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Right? What a powerful piece of scripture. Right? And that's the goal of being like Jesus, that these habits of Jesus would become the unforced rhythms of grace in our lives. That though they may be work at first, maybe even really difficult, that over time these small habits will just become part of who we are, right? Like Michael Phelps, we don't even have to think about him. It's just who we are and what we do. So then how will the keystone habits help us become more like Jesus? Well, many of the choices that you make each day, you don't even think about, right? They're a product of your habits. And though each habit in itself is a small thing, over time, the meals that you order, what you say to your kids every night, whether you spend or save, how often you exercise, those habits have enormous impacts on your health, your productivity, your financial security, and your happiness. There's a paper published by Duke University that found that more than 40% of our actions that we perform each day aren't because of decisions, but habits, right? So you are on autopilot about half of the day. And we tend to focus a lot about the decisions that we make and the choices that we make each day, but if about half of the decisions we make are our habits, then it's important to look at what our habits are. So what are your habits? in your life. Let's realize that there are some good habits and there are some bad habits in each of our lives. And you can't simply just stop a bad habit. You need to replace it with something else, hopefully a good habit. But then there are these other level of habits, another category of habits that goes beyond just good habits. They're called keystone habits. And the definition of keystone habits given by author Charles Duhigg is that it's a habit that people introduce into their lives that unintentionally carry over into other aspects of their lives. So keystone habits create a domino effect that can change every area of your life. Right, this one habit leads to multiple other good habits. And so some researchers have identified different keystone habits in our lives, and a couple of them you could probably figure out, like exercising regularly. Research shows that people who exercise regularly have increased patience, less stress, and are more productive at work. It's also correlated with better eating and better sleeping, right? Because after you burn 500 calories working out in an hour, it's probably a little more difficult to eat a handful or a bag full of peanut M&Ms. But also, interestingly enough, exercising regularly has been linked to spending less on credit cards. And I'll also notice that personally for me, the days that I hit the gym, the days that I get some exercise in, I find those days that I'm better spiritually disciplined as well. I spend more time with God on those days. Another keystone habit that researchers have found is making your bed every morning. Now, every service that I've said that, I've seen people elbow someone else next to them, right? Because if you're like me, it feels like a waste of time. I'm just going to make my bed to mess it up later that night. But actually, making your bed is correlated with increased productivity, right? You got one thing done today, and now you check that off the box, and now you're ready to move on to the next thing. Bed makers are also more likely to like their job, to own a home, to exercise regularly, and to feel well-rested. They also have stronger skills sticking to a budget. And one more that I didn't know about, but I find really interesting, flossing your teeth. Yeah, did you know that most lifestyle coaches, or many lifestyle coaches, when they start with a new client, this is the first habit they introduce to their clients. Flossing your teeth. Now we all know that we should floss our teeth. We all know that it's something, you know, we get told every 6 months, remember you should floss your teeth, and I can tell that you haven't because your gums are bleeding like crazy. Yeah, I know. But we all know that we should, and we know that there are some benefits, right? It can help maybe even save money in dental expenses over the course of our lives. But here's why it's really important. Because no one wants to do it, right? We all know that we should do it, but no one wants to do it. So if you're someone who flosses your teeth, what are you telling yourself every morning? You're saying, I'm a disciplined person. I'll choose what's right over what's easy, or over what I want to do. And so that carries over into other aspects of your life. Flossers become associated with successful, capable, confident, and disciplined people. All right, so those are great keystone habits that flow into other aspects of our life. But if your goal in life is to be a greater follower of Jesus, then it's important to put habits into place that help you accomplish that goal. Even Paul says it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. He says, train yourself for godliness. We do all of this, Paul reminds us, to ultimately become more like God, more like Jesus. Again, I like the way that the Message says it. He says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. All right, physical, mental, emotional habits are important, but none is more important than spiritual habits. And not all good habits are created equal. So we want to find those keystone habits, those spiritual habits that will spill over into those other aspects of our lives. The keystone habits that can become the system needed to accomplish the goal. And so what are the keystone habits that we find in the life of Jesus? Well, I'm just going to briefly introduce those to you today, But that's what you're going to be reading about in your workbook. These, you know, starting on Tuesday, day one is Tuesday, each of those, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you're going to be introduced to each of those keystone habits. And then starting next Sunday is when we'll take a week and look at each of those keystone habits. But again, day one is Tuesday. That's when we'll start reading together. That's when you'll be getting emails daily. And if you realize on Tuesday or Wednesday that you haven't gotten emails, let the church office know so that we can get you into that system. But that's also when you should start checking Facebook for some daily encouragement. But over the next 5 weeks, we're going to discover and go deeper into these five keystone habits of Jesus. And this isn't an exhaustive list, but it helps us to get some idea of where we should be aiming. So the keystone habits of Jesus, right? Jesus spent his life committing to community, studying scripture, prioritizing prayer, seeking solitude, and choosing church. Right? Committing to community, studying scripture, prioritizing prayer, seeking solitude, and choosing church. As we practice these five habits, if we could get these right, I guarantee you that not only would we grow in our relationship with Jesus, but we'll also become more like Jesus. And so over these next 40 days in worship, right, and next week, the author, Zach Zender, will be here leading us in worship, helping us to commit to community. But so in your weekend worship, in your daily workbooks, in your weekly life groups, in your families, we're going to be challenged each day to do something to help us be with God. So now some of you will want to just jump into doing and doing and doing, but we want you to just take a breath. Because even when it comes to habits and goals, the wisest thing to do is to start small, to take a baby step. There is power in the small choices that we make. People often overestimate what they can do in the short term, and underestimate what they can do in the long term. Right, our long term is to be more like Christ. But for now, let's take one step in the right direction, right? Baby steps. Baby steps. So what's the one step in the right direction that you can take this week? Because small habits done over a long time make a major difference. So here's my challenge for you to this week, because this week, like I said, it'll just be introduction stuff, so you won't get many challenges, but here's my challenge for you this week. Put one small daily habit into your life this week, right? That's it. I don't even care if it's a spiritual thing. We're going to be spending a lot of time on that over the next 5 weeks, but what's one thing that you can do this week? What's one habit that you can put into place this week? Never underestimate how our God can start something big through that one small habit. Because our God loves to take these small acts of faithfulness and do something special through those things, right? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed thousands of people. Faith is as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Salvation from the world came through a baby born in Bethlehem in a manger in a feeding trough. So here's mine for this week. My habit that I'm introducing into my life. I'm going to floss my teeth, right? I hate doing it. I've done it the last 2 nights. My gums bleed all over the place. My teeth feel like they've been moved out of the way. But I'm going to floss my teeth, and I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to ask me next week, hey, how'd you do? How'd you do with that habit this week? Because habits are important parts of our lives. But maybe you're saying, well, Pastor Gerber, even if I wanted to, I can't change. I can't even think about good habits because I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a life of bad habits and I can't find a way out. Well, let me tell you that no, you're not. That's a lie. That the evil one wants you to believe that you're stuck and that you can't find a way out. But our God is not only a habit maker, but he's a chain breaker. Remember that God always provides a way out. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So that way of escape is Jesus. He not only provided that way of escape when he went to the cross, but he is still your way out today. What's amazing about aiming to be like Jesus is that not only is he a great teacher and a great model, but he's also our Lord and Savior. Right? If you're just following Jesus as your teacher and your model, you'll learn some nice things. Maybe you'll be a better person, but you'll also be crushed by the expectations. There's no way that you can live up to them. But every time we fail, every time we fall, and we will, God has grace that the Bible says is sufficient for all of us. So the answer isn't, well, I failed, I guess it's time to give up. No, the answer is, wow, thanks for the grace, let's keep going. Right? That's why having Jesus as more than a teacher, but your Lord and Savior is so important. And there are a lot of us here today that are really hard on ourselves. And what you need to see today is that two steps forward and one step back is still one step forward. God loves you. You and your habits can absolutely change. You are a child of God. And if a child of God, not only do you have the grace for those times that you failed, but you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Romans 8:11 says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives, who dwells in you." Right? You have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead inside of you. The very heart of the gospel, the good news is that when Jesus Christ comes into your life by grace through faith, that not only do you inherit eternal life with him, but you are changed. You are made into a new person, a new creation, a new creation that gets to be in relationship with God. And the greatest opportunity in this world is that relationship that you can have with God. So my question for you is this: will you commit to be with God over these next 40 days? And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be working in you in a very special way over these next 40 days as we commit to being with God. Amen.